So the youth retreat, we heard a wonderful few messages from Pastor Brant Bosserman, who's up in at Trinitas Presbyterian Church in Everett, and he spoke on patience. He spoke on patience, and imagine speaking to a room of almost 100 teenagers about patience, and youthful leaders as well. This morning he preached on James 1, 2 through 5, and I thought it would be appropriate. I was listening to him preach this morning, and I thought, how do you know that I need to hear this? As someone who's preaching more and more in my young life as a pastor, it's refreshing to hear the word from someone else too, in a different context. So I wanted to read these verses, and then we're going to actually read also a call to prayer from 1 Kings chapter 8. But this is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, I read those verses, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, and there's an existential anguish that comes when you're walking through trials, right? We see that in the Psalms, and I have thought through this in the last few months. What does that mean? What does this verse mean? And I was thankful to hear from Pastor Brant this morning about how what James actually means there. And I hadn't done the deep dive on this, so I was thankful to hear from him. Basically, he spoke about how we are in the life of faith, we are growing into people who become people of endurance. Of endurance and obedience before God. We have a Lord and Savior who was obedient to the point of death, who is completely patient for us. He is the embodiment of God's patience, Jesus. And in Jesus, we can know that all of the trials that we are facing are being used by God, that God is using all of those trials to form us. It was a joy to talk with teenagers about this, and it's a joy to share it with you all, to think about that, think about every single thing in our lives, even things that we would want to get through quickly are being used by God to form us, to build us as people who have endurance in the faith, who are being formed to be more and more like Jesus. And being formed to trust our Heavenly Father more and more every day. So that's my short exhortation. I did not have the time to prepare a message this before tonight. Eric had asked me right before this meeting to lead, so there's my brief exhortation. But chew on those verses this week. James 1:5 is worth speaking about as well. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. We were talking with the kids about the finished work of Jesus last night and what he did on the cross and how through Jesus' righteousness, everything that he has done has been given to us in our sin. And I was telling the teenage boys I was sitting with afterwards that the fact that we say our Father is evidence of the finished work of Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Everything that Jesus has done is credited to us. And I know for me, my initial reaction when I really consider my sin is disbelief. How could that be? How does that add up? And it doesn't, apart from the grace of God, apart from the love of our Father. And that love that God looks at us with now in Jesus is the love and the generosity with which he gives us wisdom, when we ask. So let's all be people who continue to ask for wisdom. I know I feel like my wisdom is in short supply each day right now. So let's continue to be those people. Eric had recommended that we read from 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8, and I'll just do the reading. It's a long reading. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22. And you may remember Tom preached on the parallel passage, I believe, in 2 Chronicles, this fall. But 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 through 53. So this will serve as our further reflection on Scripture tonight, and then we'll go into corporate prayer. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. You have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth and with your hand, have fulfilled it this day. Now therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, you shall not lock a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Now therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed that you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built. Yet have regard to the prayer of your servants and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers toward this place. And listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. And listen in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath and comes and swears his oath before your altar in his house, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the guilty by bringing his conduct on his own head and vindicating the righteous by rewarding him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and if they turn again to you and acknowledge your name and pray and plead with you in this house, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them again to the land that you gave to their fathers. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, if they pray toward this place and acknowledge your name and turn from their sin, when you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, when you teach them the good way in which you should walk, the great rain upon your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew or locust or caterpillar, if their enemy besieges them in the land at their gates, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever plea is made by any man or by all your people Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart and stretching out his hands toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and render to each whose heart you know, according to all his ways. For you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land you gave to our fathers. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this house, hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name. If your people go out to battle against their enemy, by whatever way you shall send them, and they pray to the Lord toward the city you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause. If they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you are angry with them and give them to an enemy, so that they are carried away captive to the land of the enemy, far off or near, yet if they turn their heart in the land to which they have been carried captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their captors, saying, "We have sinned and acted perversely and wickedly," if they repent with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who carried them captive and pray to you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions that they have committed against you, and grant them compassion in the sight of those who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your heritage, which you brought out of Egypt from the midst of the iron furnace. Let your eyes be open to the plea of your servant and to the plea of your people Israel, giving ear to them whenever they call to you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your heritage, as you declared through Moses your servant, when you brought out what our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. Now as Solomon finished offering this prayer and plea to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had knelt with hands outstretched towards heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his rules, which he commanded to our fathers. Let these words of mine, which I have pleaded before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God, day and night, and may he maintain the cause of his servants and the cause of his people Israel, as each day requires, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments, as at this day." This is God's word. So it's pretty amazing to read through all of this passage and think about what led up to it and them being actually at the temple. I've been reading through Genesis recently and just the beginning narratives of the story of God's people, and how Solomon says all of the promises that God has given have come true in this moment. And we have this amazing... And then thinking also about the reality of God dwelling with his people, that the temple represents, that the temple was. And here's Solomon, he's praying to God and asking him to continually hear these prayers. God dwelling with his people in the temple. And here we are now having a risen Lord who is the temple. Christ is the temple. We are the body of Christ. And we get to come with him in an even more intimate way than Solomon in this moment with the people of Israel. It's pretty amazing to think about all of this, to think, and really I read that passage in James thinking about we can cry out to our Father who gives wisdom generously to us. We are all wayward people, just like the people of Israel. And we can cry out to him for forgiveness and grace and mercy to help in a time of need. And so I think that would be a good thing for us to focus our prayer time on this evening, time of crying out to the Lord for continued mercy and grace and wisdom, for all of us to be people whose hearts turn to Him each and every day, turn to Him in those moments where we don't want to, and for the Lord to bless us, His people, in this small portion of His world, where He is using us to build His kingdom. So let's break up into small groups.